all the high ideals in the world, the human person as God's image, belief in God's unity and the love of neighbor, count for little until they are turned into habits of action that become habits of the heart. We can all recall moments of insight when we had a great idea, a transformative thought, the glimpse of a project that could change our lives. A day, a week, or a year later, the thought has been forgotten or become a distant memory. At best, it might have been. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 31, The Terrible Trivium and the Holiness of Habit. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In my favorite children's book, The Phantom Tollbooth, we find the main character Milo on the cusp of achieving the goal of his noble journey and mission, freeing the princesses Rhyme and Reason, when he and his traveling comrades meet a mysterious man who assigns them a series of menial and meaningless tasks that go on and on. The mission is suddenly delayed, and when Milo protests, it turns out that the assigner of these tasks is not a man at all, but rather a demon. I cite several portions from the book. "But it hardly seems worthwhile," said Milo softly. "Worthwhile," the man roared indignantly. "All I meant was that perhaps it isn't too important," Milo repeated, trying not to be impolite. "Of course it's not important," he snarled angrily. "I wouldn't have asked you to do it if I thought it was important." And now, as he turned to face them, he didn't seem quite so pleasant. And a bit later, the book continues. "Because, my young friends," he muttered sourly, "what could be more important than doing unimportant things? If you stop to do enough of them, you'll never get to where you're going." He punctuated his last remark with a villainous laugh. "Then you must," gasped Milo. "Quite correct," he shrieked triumphantly. "I am the terrible Trivium, demon of petty tasks and worthless jobs, ogre of wasted effort and monster of habit." A bit after, we read, "But why do only unimportant things?" asked Milo, who suddenly remembered how much time he spent each day doing them. "Think of all the trouble it saves," the man explained, and his face looked as if he'd be grinning an evil grin if he could grin at all. "If you only do the easy and useless jobs, you'll never have to worry about the important ones, which are so difficult. You just won't have the time, for there's always something to do to keep you from what you really should be doing." And then a bit later in the book, he says to Milo, "Now do come and stay with me. We'll have so much fun together. There are things to fill and things to empty, things to take away and things to bring back, things to pick up and things to put down. And besides all that, we have pencils to sharpen, holes to dig, nails to straighten, stamps to lick, and ever so much more. Why, if you stay here, you'll never have to think again. And with a little practice, you can become a monster of habit, too." End quote. This is the terrible Trivium, monster of habit, fiendish demon, in my beloved childhood book, The Phantom Tollbooth. Now, meaningless tasks are, of course, exactly that, meaningless. But here, habit is juxtaposed, contrasted, with the glorious quest on which Milo is engaged. But the truth is that for Judaism, it is not always the quest that is the centerpiece of our celebration and the locus of holiness in life. Habit, in fact, daily tasks that are important, are actually central to Judaism as it is lived. And for us, it very often becomes the center of sanctity itself. This, I believe, is the meaning of our mitzvah for today. Numbers chapter 29 describes the various offerings brought on the altar in the temple, and its first focus is on the olah, the elevation or burnt offering. A burnt offering was brought on behalf of the entire covenantal people twice a day, or as the mitzvah states, et hakeves achad ta'aseh ba'boker ve'et hakeves hasheni ta'aseh ben arba'im. The ceremony of one sheep you shall do in the morning, and of the second approaching evening. It is for this elevation offering or burnt offering that the altar in the temple is named. It is known as the Mizbach HaOlah, the altar of burnt offering. And this twice daily ritual serves also as the source for the morning and afternoon prayer today, in the sense that its timing is meant to parallel this original ritual in the holy. The mitzvah, in other words, is not only about offering, though it is first and foremost about that. It embodies a way of life, a system of regular ritual. There is a fascinating passage in rabbinic literature, which I believe I cited in one of my faith and film lectures, in which a debate is described as to which is the central verse in the Torah, which best captures the entirety of the Torah. Several obvious answers are offered. The Shema, the obligation to love one's fellow, or the verse, Zeh Sefer Torah Ta'adam, This is the book of the law of humanity. And then there is a mysterious midrash, which is not extant in that original rabbinic text, but is cited in later sources, according to which a rabbi known as Ben Pazi offers another opinion that the central verse in the Torah is our mitzvah of the day, the offering brought twice daily, the model for our daily repetitive prayers. What that means is that repetition, and through repetition the formation of sacred habit, is valuable in and of itself. Indeed, habit forms us, as few other things often do. There is a wonderful piece of writing by Rabbi Sacks, who describes the larger meaning of this midrash. He writes, "Achieving any form of spiritual growth requires sustained effort and daily rituals. The meaning of Ben Pazi's statement is clear. All the high ideals in the world, the human person as God's image, belief in God's unity and the love of neighbor, count for little until they are turned into habits of action that become habits of the heart. We can all recall moments of insight when we had a great idea, a transformative thought, the glimpse of a project that could change our lives. A day, a week, or a year later, the thought has been forgotten or become a distant memory. At best, it might have been." And Rabbi Sacks adds, "Judaism's greatness is that it takes high ideals and exalted visions, image of God, faith in God, love of neighbor, and turns them into patterns of behavior. Halakha, Jewish law, involves a set of routines that, like those of the great creative minds, reconfigures the brain, giving discipline to our lives and changing the way we feel, think, and act." And Rabbi Sacks further writes, "We have developed in the West a strange view of religious experience, that it's what overwhelms you when something happens completely outside the run of normal experience. You climb a mountain and look down. You are miraculously saved from danger. You find yourself part of a vast and cheering crowd. It's how the German Lutheran theologian Rudolf Otto defined the holy, as a mystery, mysterium, both terrifying, tremendum, and fascinating, fascinans. You are awed by the presence of something vast. We have all had such experiences." And Rabbi Sacks later concludes, "But that is all they are, experiences. They linger in the memory, but they are not part of everyday life. They are not woven into the texture of our character. They do not affect what we do or achieve or become. Judaism is about changing us so that we become creative artists whose greatest creation is our own life. And that needs daily rituals. Shacharit, mincha, ma'ariv, the food we eat, the way we behave at work or in the home, the choreography of holiness." End quote. And here, of course, in his reference to Shacharit Mincha, Rabbi Sacks is referring to the daily prayers that are built on the rituals of the altar of burnt offering. It is this altar that is the source of our celebration during this festive time. For the word Chanukah, dedication, refers first and foremost to the new altar that was built by the Hasmoneans after the temple was cleansed of paganism. Thus, we are told in the book of Maccabees, "Then they took unhewn stones, as the law directs, and built a new altar like the former one. They also rebuilt the sanctuary and the interior of the temple, and consecrated the courts. They made new holy vessels, and brought the lampstand, the altar of incense, and the table into the temple. Then they offered incense on the altar, and lit the lamps on the lampstands, and these gave light in the temple. They placed the bread on the temple, and hung up the curtains. Thus they finished all the work they had undertaken. Early in the morning, on the 25th day of the ninth month, which is the month of Kislev, in the 148th year, they rose and offered sacrifice, as the law directs, on the new altar of burnt offering that they had built." End quote. Chanukah refers to the dedication of the altar named for religious regularity, the holiness of habit. And that is the meaning of our mitzvah. At the end of the Phantom Tollbooth, when Milo returns home, he is looking forward to another journey into the magical land where he had engaged in his noble quest, and he finds that the portal to that world has been sent to another child. He is originally crestfallen, but then we are told that, quote, "And yet, and even as he thought of all these things, he noticed somehow that the sky was a lovely shade of blue, and that one cloud had the shape of a sailing ship. The tips of the trees held pale young buds, and the leaves were a rich deep green. Outside the windows, there was so much to see and hear and touch, walks to take, hills to climb, caterpillars to watch. As they strolled through the garden, there were voices to hear and conversations to listen to and wonder, and the special smell of each day." And then the book concludes with Milo saying to himself, "Well, I would like to make another trip, but I really don't know when I'll have the time. There's just so much to do right here." End quote. There is indeed a role for the heroism of the quest, but there is holiness to be found in the here and now, in the habituation and sanctification of daily life. When performed with the proper perspective, these incredible tasks are not only the opposite of trivial, they are central to endowing our lives with meaning. This is Meir Soloveitchik wishing all of you a luminous Chanukah, signing off.